on, Toronto sports fans? Welcome to your favorite podcast in Toronto, Sports from the Six. We are here for episode number 25, a quarter century of the podcast.
Milestone.
Here with Joe Narsa. Joe, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, Flip. You know, it's cold up in the Six, but it's hot up in the Sports from the Six, that's for sure.
Wow, I like how you pulled that together. You almost fumbled it on the one-yard line, but you brought it together. I like it.
I did. I finished it off a la what Marshawn Lynch wanted to do. Shots at Pete Carroll.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Shots being fired early in the show. I feel like the energy is up in the booth today. We had a little bit of a somber, reflective episode last week. We're back to what we do best. We're back to the bare bones here. Sports from Toronto mainly. We're going to touch on a bunch of things today. We want to start off the show, though, Joe, and I'll let you break down the details of this with an interesting, a little Twitter fuffle yesterday. Some information coming out late yesterday about a big name on the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, so it's getting cold, and Christmas is coming up soon, and yes, the big man with the red suit is coming to Toronto in almost a month in Santa Claus. Bigger news, Dave Kaplan, CSN, from Chicago, who actually has a radio show and he covers the Cubs, has came out and said that David Price, his first choice would be to come back to the Toronto Blue Jays.
So now let me, before we get too excited about this, Dave Kaplan, solid MLB source for people that are listening. This is a solid MLB insider.
Absolutely.
This isn't just some blogger. This isn't off
some random
line.
No, he works for Comcast Sports Network. He has his own radio show covering the Chicago Cubs. He has over 60,000 followers. The guy actually is a part of the business. He's not just a blogger.
Right.
It's not just an idea. His exact tweet was a source. He actually had retweeted or replied to a tweet from somebody random.
You can check it out on our Twitter account. We'll get that up there for you.
Yeah, we'll get that up there for you guys to check out. Somebody had said, close source to Price, says that David Price wants to go back to Toronto. He loved his time there.
Now, before we get too far, Joe, I got a question for you about
sure.
this. Wouldn't you say that that's what David Price would say, just to keep everyone happy? Don't you think that's, you know, devil's advocate's going to say he's going to say that anyway? What makes you believe that this is the real deal?
Well, I mean, there's two things that I wouldn't do if I was a free agent only looking for money. I would never say I love the city, because then I'm breaking down my obstacle. I'm taking down an obstacle for them to get me.
Yeah, you lost a bit of your bargaining
100%
chip.
Because they're going to say to me, listen, I understand this team is offering you $5 million more, but you said you love it here.
Right.
So if I'm Price and I don't want to come back to Toronto or I don't want to lose any leverage, I would never say that to somebody I would believe
I like that.
Would have the stones to throw that out there.
I agree.
So what I do expect is that this is one of those personal conversations between sources where it's okay for this to get out, because there is a higher possibility of this happening than it not happening, unless there's a crazy circumstance. Like me and Flip were talking before, and everybody has the notion, if David Price gets offered $35 million a year for 10 years or $40 million for 9 years from the Dodgers,
he'll probably take it.
He would go. I would go.
That's
like,
a lot of
honest.
Money. Let's be honest. It's a lot of money.
100%. The idea that Kaplan was saying is that in the $200 million pool, the Jays are ready to swim.
I think, Joe, I look at it this way if I'm David Price, because he's a smart player. I think if you talk about intelligent baseball guys, kind of like Donaldson, he's got a high baseball IQ. You've heard that about him. He's an intelligent dude, Vanderbilt product. He sees the talent on this team.
Right.
He's comfortable in the AL East. He made his bread and butter in his career in the AL East. He also, I think, is recognizing the opportunity to be the face of a whole country. And I think we really saw that come out at the end of the season last year. These guys really got to the come together thing, really. And we've been there. We don't want to go down that road too much. But I think he's starting to realize that, like, maybe the money isn't as important right now.
Well, the thing is, too, all of Toronto was enamored by David Price.
Big time.
The reason why we kind of stopped being enamored by him is because I think we reverted back into our Toronto shell.
Mm.
He's not coming back. We're the Toronto Blue Jays. Nobody wants to play for the Blue Jays.
Yep.
But when David Price was here, the first second he stepped on the mound, he said this was the best atmosphere he's ever played in, and he pitched in a World Series.
I even want to say before that, Joe, I remember the night he came to Toronto when he had a busted wheel driving up to Toronto from Detroit.
Yeah.
And it was all over Twitter. We were, like, tracking him. Like, you mentioned Santa Claus. It was, like, tracking Santa on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, where's David Price?
Yeah, totally
oh, my God,
agree.
David Price is coming. Oh, he got a busted wheel. He's not. Oh my God, is he not going to make it for his next start? Like, what's going on? We were tracking this guy, and I know it was real excitement around this player, and I hope he comes back. Is my girlfriend, Jill. Huge shout-out to Jill.
Best chef in town.
Well, yeah, best chef in town for sure. Check out oneblondchef.com. A little bit of a plug there. Anyway. She watched the entire David Price press conference. He hasn't even pitched for the Jays, and she's sitting there like, why don't we watch this? I'm like, do you really care? She's like, no, this is exciting. These are people that don't really like sports overall.
Right.
And he brought that kind of excitement to the city, and I think he felt it. The fans felt it. After hearing what you told me today about that tweet, it's exciting stuff.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, David Price has had a lot of exposure to Toronto. He pitched in the AL East for so long.
Exactly.
You know he's had conversations with guys like Doc Holliday. You know he's had conversation. You know, baseball players, they're not as, they don't have, like, the same animosity to each other that, like, every other league does. I mean, football, hockey, the guys are always at it.
Right.
You see them talking. You see them joking around.
They're like even, colleagues.
Yeah, exactly.
They're peers.
Peers, yes. Except if you're playing the Kansas City Royals. Nobody's peers with the Kansas City Royals.
We hate you.
Don't
still
like you.
Especially Edison Volquez.
Worst guy.
Anyway.
So when you look at Price finally coming to Toronto, first of all, he knew about what made the city special and that he said, like, I know Toronto's a fun place to be. It's a great city. He loves the popcorn.
I think that's, we can't.
It's the small things.
We can't overlook the man is hooked on the Skydome popcorn.
Right? Like me and Flip.
Sorry,
combined,
Rogers Center.
Me and Flip combined are big boys.
Oh, I could take down a half a field worth of corn.
And we know how popping good that popcorn is.
Okay,
it's
but can
so
we
good.
Talk about how much beer and or fluid you need to wash that down with?
Honestly,
there is more salt on that popcorn than there is in, like, all of Southern Ontario. Like, I swear, that thing is salty as a, you know what.
Listen, the Blue Jays get me to get into the door with a $30 ticket, and they hose me on $15 popcorns. And the best part is, like, the fat kid in me comes out because they're like, if you want, you can buy this bucket for $5 more, and we'll give you a refill.
So,
I'm
of
like,
course,
what?
You get the bucket. So, of course, you get the bucket.
And I don't eat the second bucket, but I want to know that I have the option of eating the second bucket, and I crush the $10 brews. You have to.
You have to. But speaking of options, let's play, you know, best case scenario. Price comes back for, I think at this point, the money's irrelevant. If you can get him back, you get him back.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's back.
Yeah.
Deal is whatever. Long term, lots of money. What's the next move? Because if this is, I guess this is assuming that this is the next move. Price is the next big signing they make because we don't know what's in the works. Let's say that happens. All the other needs are still out there. Backup shortstop, backup second baseman, maybe an outfielder, some bullpen help, maybe even another starter. Where do you go?
I think the first thing I do is I look for another Marco Estrada option.
So another starting arm.
Yes, but I'm looking at a 3-4-5.
Yeah,
potentially a guy who can, you know, even if he's priced in about $7 million, $8 million a year.
So a bargain arm.
Yeah, and the reason why I look at that is because I'm a firm believer that the bullpen is almost an anomaly. You're having guys that couldn't hack it as starters. You have guys that are developing to be starters. You don't have a starter always in the bullpen.
Not always, but you could argue we do with Sanchez this year.
Right. Technically.
Because he can hack it.
Sadly, you could argue that you have another one in Hutchison. The guy won 13 games.
Right. Okay. Anyway, let's stay on point here.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
So I would go and get another arm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would work on figuring out what I want to do with my bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start moving into my defensive depth. Because here's the thing. Realistically, all you need is your shortstop and your second baseman to last till about, like, June, May.
Yeah,
because then Devin Travis is back.
Well, I think out of all those needs, I think up the middle is where the most solid. We mentioned it, you know, Cliff Pennington has moved on.
Right.
Travis is injured
for
the first few months, or maybe just the first month. We'll see how he comes back with the shoulder injury. He just had surgery.
Or Flip, maybe we find out what the Blue Jays really want to do with this whole Kevin Pillar situation.
That's, I think, the most, obviously, the price thing and the starting pitching for me and most people is the top number one issue.
Yeah.
But the second intriguing slash glaring issue to me is, what do you do in your outfield? And people are going to say, what do you mean? What do you do in the outfield? Outfield's looking nice. You have a chip out there with Dalton Pompey,
right,
or you have a chip out there with Kevin Pillar. Either way you break this down, we talked about it. There's plus sides to both.
And we also still have an option that nobody talks about in Michael Saunders.
Saunders,
he still
I know.
Exists.
I know he still exists, but why? Like,
I know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get into it maybe never.
Yeah.
But I agree. There's options out there, and you got to decide where you're going to move.
So what are you doing after Price? You get Price, whatever money you want, whatever, who cares? You have no budget. What do you do next?
I agree with you. You got to go for another arm because everything you've seen from the past, 10 years worth of World Series is arms win.
Yeah.
Arms win no matter how strong the offense is. Like, case in point, Kansas City, awesome offensive team. You can argue that their bullpen won them their World Series.
Yeah,
pitching is
down.
Always key. Pitching is always key. So let's say David Price comes back. You got Stroman, David Price, Marco Estrada, R.A. Dickey as your top four, whatever the order is.
Yeah.
That can be hashed out after. That's a pretty solid top four.
Right.
Bringing in a solid fifth arm, because do we think Hutchison's that guy? He'll fight for it. They're going to give him, the chance. But I would still go for a fifth arm.
Yeah, me too. Especially because I think I want R.A. Dickey to be this year's Mark Burley. I don't want to see him in the playoffs.
Okay. I like that. That's an interesting point.
And it's no disrespect to what he did last year.
Right, because he had a good year.
Right. And R.A., if you're listening.
Solid year.
If you're listening, bravo. You did a fantastic job. And you have turned around this trade in the last year and a half because it was looking very bad. And he pitched fantastic. The problem is there's no consistency with a knuckleball. And
it's tough to find it, for sure.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, we look at guys like Tim Wakefield, and we remember, oh, yeah, his ankle was bleeding, and he was so sick.
That was Curt
sick.
Schilling, but it's okay.
Was Curt Schilling?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Curt Schilling, but yeah, that was a good story.
Sorry. And we're like, oh, he's so great, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't pitch very great in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He still had a high ERA. So I would hope that whatever pitcher we get is more a 3-4,
okay,
paid like a 5.
That's going to be...
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
But yeah, we're talking best case scenarios.
And
here,
if that case scenario ends up being that a guy like Sanchez or Osuna, or you know what? I mean, shocking, Hutchison.
Because that would be more of a worst case scenario, I think. Hutchison going in as the fifth.
Yeah. I mean, to start, it would be...
In
yeah,
their mind, it would almost, or in my mind too, it almost looked like a downgrade, a set we're going to settle. But who knows, right? He's shown a few flashes of brilliance, especially at home. And the year before, he was, other than Stroman and Sanchez, who were a little bit farther along, he was their number one pitching prospect.
And that's interesting, though, like with Hutchison, it's at home. The Rogers Center is impossible
I know.
To pitch well.
No, that's a hitter's ballpark. That's a notorious hitter's ballpark.
Right.
And part of the reason why these big guys in our lineup love to hit at home.
So here's a question for you, because I remember we were talking.
Mm. We do like to talk.
We talk a lot.
Thank you.
If Mark Shapiro signs David Price, have we forgotten the name Alex Anthopoulos? Can Toronto sit down, crack open a Canadian, and
we're drinking
just go,
Canadians, eh? We're downgraded to Canadians? Like,
well,
can I get
I'm
a
just,
Budweiser?
No.
Wow.
Because I'm going general Torontonian
okay.
fan.
That's
like,
fair.
You know.
Yeah, that's
so,
fair.
So, Bill... From the peg.
Bill
from Peterborough.
Bill from Peterborough and Tony from Woodbridge.
Tony from Woodbridge is drinking a Peroni. He is. And he got to pop it open and stuff,
And,
he's
wearing
like,
flip-flops.
Maria, get the pasta.
He's wearing flip-flops and socks.
100%
anyway,
inside.
So, yeah.
So are
That's
they
a good question.
There,
I like where you're going
are
with
Are they
this.
Sitting there thinking, you know what? It's sad to see Anthopoulos go, but clearly Mark Shapiro is not going to fake us and cheat us into this winning team.
I think if he can sign Price after bringing back a fan favorite in Estrada, maybe we don't forget about Anthopoulos because that was a great run. Like, I can't tell you how many times I cried watching Jays baseball in the past 6 months. Too many. That's how many times. I don't think he's forgotten, but the sting of him leaving is gone. You can bring back Price, which was the big guy that Anthopoulos got. In my opinion, yes, that'll get help the city get over it. I don't think he'll be forgotten, though. Toronto fans are intelligent fans, as much as people outside of the six like to hate on Toronto fans.
Yeah. Well, in this case, they can, because that's their team.
There you go.
The Toronto Blue Jays makes everybody in Canada feel a little bit more sick, because they have to love a Toronto team.
That's true, and that's a whole other show we could dedicate to that,
right?
Kind of
just
stuff.
Watching the frustration in the rest of Canada having to love something we love.
It was a good run, though, wasn't it?
How much does
like
it
can
suck?
can we just enjoy it for another few seconds here before we move on? And now we're moving on.
Well, before we
we're not moving on. Sorry,
you just if I go quiet,
man, that
would have
been such
talks.
A good segue.
I'm sorry.
It. Okay,
I'm
anyway,
sorry.
Go ahead.
It's segues are dead. It's hovercrafts.
True. Wow.
Yeah, hoverboards.
Nasty.
If you sign Price, how much better does it feel as a Blue Jays fan knowing what you traded to get him? Because this time you didn't trade him for a rental, you traded, you know, three pitchers.
Matt Boyd.
Daniel Norris, and I believe there was another lefty.
Where's AK when you need him?
Jeez.
AK, we miss you still.
Big shout out every episode.
Every episode he's getting a shout out. Everyone gets a shout out on this show. We just like showing love, guys. If you don't like it, to the six people that are listening, we apologize.
Shout out to the six people that are listening.
Yeah, shout out to the seven people, including my mom, who are listening. We love you guys.
Mama anyway, Livingstone.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, how much better will that feel? Because we got to trade away all that talent, that young talent,
yeah,
a guy for 13 games, 14 games, and instead we get back our ace for the next seven.
It would feel good, don't get me wrong.
Right.
It would feel awesome, and it would be almost like vindication for the trade. But at the same time, if I look back and say, do we do it again? I do it again.
Yeah, 100%.
I do it again just because 100%. Even if it was you're going to make it to the ALCS and then I don't know how much farther, I still go for it because the happiness that it brought to the city, maybe just myself alone,
yeah,
my family, my friends, us, the program. How awesome was it to be a sports journalism student through that experience?
Well, for us too. I mean, we covered this team from its birth, essentially, at the beginning of the season.
This year, you know, we were in spring training. We were in Dunedin. We met a lot of young players, some of them that were in that trade.
We met everybody that was in the trade.
Right.
So we were the kiss of death for the Blue Jays.
We were there.
System.
We were in the farms. We were, like, down the street eating at Hulk Hogan's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, near the Bobby Maddox.
The healthiest meals you could eat.
So
and
bad.
We heard about
Stroman.
Heartburn. So, you know, we felt a special connection with the team this year. And it really was a great ride. And I think the rumors about Price, to bring it full circle, if they can bring him back, it's going to be another exciting season. I think it will be regardless. But bringing Price back, fans have reason to get excited again because that guy's nasty.
I mean, it would have Toronto being 2-for-2. You'd get, you know, Leafs get Babcock when they weren't supposed to.
Right.
Blue Jays get Price again.
Speaking of segues.
When they weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at the always possibility that people talk about, and that Kevin Durant a free agent. If that happened,
wow!
And then that same summer, the Leafs get Stamkos.
You love Durant. Can we bring this back?
Every
episode you talk about
he
Durant.
He is my favorite player in the NBA.
He's so injured though.
I know, but he's my favorite.
Anyway, we'll get to that after. What are we talking about next?
Well,
Leafs?
That's what.
Or
no,
do you want to go Raps?
We can go. I think we should go Raps.
Okay, let's go Raps because it is Drake night tomorrow night.
That's yep.
Drake night this week. We'll say this week. It's going to be a big night. I saw the free gear they're giving away. It's on point.
I like the... okay.
They're giving away headbands.
Yes,
get down
I saw
there.
That. Okay, real talk.
Real talk. It's never real talk, but go ahead.
That sweater shirt thing.
Yes.
What is that actually called? What is a sweater without a zipper and without a hood called? Is it a sweatshirt? Is it a sweater? Or is it a shirt?
I believe it's a sweater.
Is it?
Because a shirt would be... short sleeves?
But what's okay, but then a long sleeve shirt, is that a long sleeve t-shirt or is it a shirt?
Oh my God, my brain hurts.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Hurts.
I just
that's
for
that's,
all the fans going, if you could ask whoever's giving you that thing, what is this called? please tweet me at JoeyNarsa50 because I don't know what those things are. I think they're shirts. People call them sweaters. I think sweaters should have a hood, maybe a zipper.
You're confused. You have the confused look on your face like DeAndre Jordan has when he goes to the free throw line. He's like, oh, what am I supposed to do here? That guy is the
worst.
That
hack of Jordan, it makes me want to turn off the TV. I just don't care.
Guys, Google DeAndre Jordan shooting free throws and then have a little chuckle if you're having a bad day.
It looks worse this year, too, because his hair's a little longer and he's pushing it back a little higher.
It's worse because he's making even more money and he's worse at shooting free throws. Anyway.
I know.
The Raptors have turned their road trip around a little bit.
Somewhat.
Their West Coast road trip. Salvaged it with a couple wins.
That win against the Clippers is so intriguing. How do you lose to the teams you lost other than Golden State and then you beat the Clippers like you did?
Isn't that the team in a nutshell, though? That game, the Clippers game, to me, is the Raptors in a nutshell, especially this season. Especially the way they won the game, too. They come out and they're up by like 38 points. Then they go on. How many points?
29.
29 points. Then they score a franchise low in the third. They score 7 points or 8 points in the third quarter. Let the Clippers way back into the game. And then fourth quarter shut them down and win by 11. And I'm just like, I'm watching the highlight and I'm like, we were talking about enigma teams and enigma players. I was just like, this might be one of the years where the Raptors are an enigma team and they play amazing. And then play really bad against the teams you think they should be.
But doesn't it blow your mind that it's almost, like you're saying, it's not even throughout the season. It's like condensed into a game. Like every game the Raptors play is a little explanation of their entire team. You start out strong.
What does that mean?
Like you start out strong and then you have a bad second quarter. And then you have a good first half of the third quarter, but then you have a bad end to the third quarter. And then you play the best defense we've ever seen in this city of all time in the fourth quarter. Like, there's such a confusing basketball team. And it's for that reason that I listen, people might get mad at me, but I am so annoyed at the fact that everybody is talking about how Valanciunas is such a big loss and the Raptors are going to have such a tough time without JV.
You're hard on the Raps this year. You've been hard on them.
You know what?
Critical.
I have been critical, but I respect them. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a good team.
Sorry, AK.
But I think some of the guys on the team are a little overhyped, and I think Jonas Valanciunas is one of them.
That's fair. I get that. There's also been very little proof to show otherwise.
Right. Like, do you think they're going to be in that bad shape without JV? Honestly.
Honestly, it's a good point that you raise. Again, you've been killing it today. I really like the show. I really hope we get over 25 views. It is, to me, we've already talked about it. I think JV plays a bigger role than you feel.
Yeah.
But the way he's been playing lately, no, I don't think it's that big of a loss. But one of their other big guys go down, then who's playing? Noguera?
Well, you bring up Caboclo? Biongo, right.
Right. But I'm just meaning, like, now you're even, yeah, his role may have not have been as crucial to the team's success yet, but now that position of size and, you know, the four and the five has already been weak. Now it's really going to be exposed.
Well, I have a question here. Why did the Raptors get Anthony Bennett? Why is he not even an option? Anthony Bennett shouldn't have gone first overall. That's a lot of people's argument.
Of course
but
not.
He was probably going to go 10th overall.
He was going to be a first rounder.
Okay, so where is Anthony Bennett in this conversation? How come he can't fit into this rotation? When you really think about it, Anthony Bennett's hands are better than JV's. He's got hands. His problem is putting it all together on the floor. He can move, but it's almost like he's a little bit late to everything. He's not great at rebounding. He's talented, but he doesn't have the full package.
Again, another enigma kind of player to me. All the reason that he should be solid, but he's just not putting it together. And again, we need someone who's a little bit more in touch, in close with the team.
Yeah.
Because he had a great Pan Am Games with Canada and a great, what was the, FIBA Americas?
Yeah.
He
and
played
then Minnesota
really,
called
he,
a quits.
He played really solid for Team Canada, and I think Toronto recognized that. And he signed for the minimum, the veteran minimum, right? Yeah. Isn't he technically a veteran now? He's played 3 seasons?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he signed for the veteran minimum.
Yeah, he signed for the veteran minimum. So I think it was kind of like, we've talked about low risk, high reward that the Leafs have been trying to do.
Right.
I think it was that kind of move. But maybe, you know, they brought him in and maybe he's regressed.
Maybe
he's, you know, maybe he's just, they're not seeing what they want out of him. And they, if they trusted him, if Casey or anyone there thought that he'd be on the floor, especially now with JV going down. So if he's not out there, it to me is, you know, he's not performing well in practice. Maybe he's not. He hasn't fit into Casey's system as well as they thought. Who knows? Again, honestly, we miss our boy AK, and we need that Raptors insider information. And if you need it, hit up our Twitter account because that's where you'll find it. But it's an interesting point. And again, another intriguing thing with this Raptors team that you can't really put your finger on.
And you look at it too, it's, I don't know, other than Sacramento, I don't really remember a game where the five and four spot was like the
exposed.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's been the two spot that's been killing us. Point guards, every single time we're playing a point guard, Kyle Lowry has to literally play his butt off and Corey Joseph has to break his knees trying to defend. I mean, this next matchup, though, the big men on Cleveland can battle.
Bron's coming to town.
And LeBron, I don't know why, but he has historically torched the crap out of Toronto.
He loves Toronto. He likes the city.
It makes me so okay.
He likes Toronto. He parties here, too.
I have beef with LeBron.
Oh, my God. No, don't. Listen, LeBron's my boy.
Listen,
you know how much heat
I've
taken in this booth defending LeBron this year?
I know you have, but I defended with you.
Yeah,
I defended with you. He should have been the MVP of
that
year that he lost last year.
How can you sit here?
No way he wasn't.
How can you sit here and tell me now that we're months away? Like now I'm getting all heated. But thank you, because
you should be.
Now with hindsight, and hindsight is always 20/20. Doesn't it even look even more like a joke that Andre Iguodala won that,
buddy?
Like, are you kidding me?
This is the frustration I have with advanced stats, and we can have this argument because AK is not here to yell at me,
right?
But like, get out of town that he was the most imperative player in that series, when if you didn't have LeBron James, there's no way the Cleveland Cavaliers even have jerseys, let alone are in the championship game.
I don't want to go into it too much because it's so much in the past, but this past NBA Finals, that was Golden State's.
Yes.
Get it. They won that. They were the better team.
But
I predicted Cleveland, and I was wrong. But the fact that LeBron James didn't win the Most Valuable Player award, everyone's like, oh, but when Iguodala came off the bench, like, the matchups changed and, you know, the team changed and everything changed. And I'm just like, okay, maybe, but where's the tangible stat to show that? LeBron was playing, he didn't sit.
He played 48 minutes
a game.
He's
playing 48 minutes a game. He's averaging 39-9.
Yeah.
Like, and putting up better than Jordan numbers in a couple of the games.
Yep.
And I'm not going to go there.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
But just look at the stats and then come back to me with a good argument. And,
yeah,
like, AK will probably find some deep stats from, like, the bottom of the barrel that mean something.
Yeah.
And just to anger me.
Iguodala's Corsi numbers were great, I think.
Right. I still don't know what that means. I hear Corsi, and I think the Mafia is out again for me. So
here's my beef with LeBron. He owes me tickets to watch him play basketball.
Uh-oh.
I paid $200 to watch LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh with the Miami Heat smash the Raptors.
Did he get hurt?
No, he did not get hurt. It was Fan Fest night, too, so they were giving out free crap.
Uh-huh.
I got no free crap.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't watch either. And LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all took a seat because it was the second last game of the season. It was the Raptors' last game of the season. And LeBron James pretended to take off his shirt to come onto the floor.
No, he did.
Laughed and shook his hand off and started laughing and sat down. That is why me and LeBron James, listen, you're a very nice guy. I have nothing against you as a person, but you owe me tickets because I need to watch you play because that was ridiculous. Dude, he got up.
Yeah,
he looked at everybody.
That's troll.
He walked to the, like, you know, the far end line for the visitors team.
Yeah, yeah.
Walked in front of the fans, took off his Cavs like practice sweater, shirt, hoodie,
Miami.
Yeah. And he looked at everybody and he went, nah. And he waved his hand. He put his shirt back on. He sat down. Chris Bosh looked at him, put his head in his hands, and just shook his head because Bosh knows what that would have meant to Toronto to at least see them. See, like,
you're getting amped up. You're
so frustrated.
You're sweating, Joe.
It's starting to concern me. So frustrated.
But before we get too far off on an aggressive tangent, because it's happening.
It's getting there.
And you know what? I had a bit of Jack Daniels last night, and I don't want to get too aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think we should show a bit of love for the Raptors 905.
Yes, first time they won.
First franchise victory. This is the inaugural season for the Raptors 905 playing out of Mississauga, obviously. Is it Hershey Center?
Hershey Center, yep.
And I really want to go out and check these guys out. They beat I forget the team.
I can bring that up for you. Stats guy.
No, it was a weird name. It was Ants or something.
I got the stats guy on it. Stats guy.
Stats guy.
He's working.
What's going on? He's working. Anyway.
He's crushing it.
No, it was something Red Claws. Anyway, they beat somebody, and I just want to show some love to a Toronto franchise in its infancy. Bruno Caboclo, one of the recent high draft picks for the Toronto
Raptors.
Raptors
beat the main Red Claws.
Red Claws. Nicely See, done. There we go. Red
like,
Claws.
Not Santa.
Not Santa.
No, claws like scratching.
Scratching. Red Claws. Anyway. Yeah, I wanted to show them some love. Also, because one of their high draft picks, Bruno Caboclo, is putting up some decent numbers, taking way too many shots from what I'm reading. But
I think that's the point, though.
Showing some flashes, right?
I think
showing
that's
some
the
flashes.
Point.
And, you know, they brought in Nick Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins' brother. We
that
mentioned
is,
that.
I love that. That
so
is
they're just,
so...
they're built. Simbular, you know, it's like almost like a family feel out there in Mississauga. And I want to go watch.
And they just sent down DeLon Wright.
DeLon Wright. This is an exciting team to go check out. Cheap tickets. Head out there to Mississauga. Support this team. Get out there and support local Toronto sports. Like, this is sports from the six. And I just feel like we'd be slacking to not show love to a new team from the six.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
One that's got all this great young talent on it, especially if guys like DeLon Wright are coming down. That's a what did he go overall this year?
I think he was in the first round, if I'm not mistaken.
He was a first round pick.
Powell was our second round.
Caboclo's a first round pick. Simbular is a Canadian player who's fun to watch.
He's huge, man.
He's just
7'5".
Man, he makes me.
Guy's a G.
You standing next to me is like me standing next to Simbular.
Oh, my God.
Put that into context.
We
got
to find a way to Photoshop the crap out of that because that would
be
funny.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Definitely.
But yeah, just before we move on to the Leafs, I wanted to show them some love. Go check them out, Hershey Center.
Yeah.
You excited about them, Joe? I'm a little amped up. I like it.
You know what? I think what I'm excited about is that it's always nice to see a commitment to winning in whichever way that you can do it. And I think the Raptors creating Raptors 905, establishing a D-League team. And listen, big shout-out to John Chidley-Hill from the Canadian Press for teaching us the business of sports.
Finally.
And what we learned is that there's certain loss leaders for sports teams. To invest in a loss leader is to invest in losing money. But the Raptors invested in what most people assume is a loss leader to develop talent the right way, to develop a system. And you know what? When you look at, I would say, the crown jewel of the NBA in the San Antonio Spurs, their development system, it's in par with the greats of every league. Just next one up.
Yeah,
who's
they're
up?
Churning.
Next one
they're
up.
Churning out solid players.
Right.
And it reminds me of Detroit in the NHL.
Yeah, and like to me, the Patriots in the NFL, you just every single play, whoever is injured, if the next guy comes up, the next guy plays fantastic, the next guy knows the system.
Exactly.
And
the
I
system.
I think that's what I'm so proud of in knowing that the Toronto Raptors, for the fans, for you guys,
are trying to build
are
it.
Investing.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're trying to build it. I like that too.
Absolutely.
It feels like family.
It does.
It feels like they're building a Raptors family system, tradition, and I think they're the 19th franchise in the D-League,
something like that, yeah.
19th franchise in the D-League, and I just like that, almost like when the Leafs brought the Marlies west from when they were out in St. John's, and they brought the St. John's Maple Leafs back to Toronto.
Right.
I just like them being so close in terms of just benefits for the franchise. You need a guy, injury, or you need a guy to go down and get some work. They're there in 45 minutes.
I know, and you know what? It's funny because it was tough to see because the Baby Leafs in St. John's were absolutely adored.
Oh, yeah,
they
for
loved
sure.
them in St. John's, and it
they
sucked.
Do.
But
the Sea Dogs are there for them, though, no? Isn't that them?
They have the Ice Caps now.
Ice Caps.
Yeah.
Ice caps.
And what they were able to do is, like you're saying, have a pathway to the Maple Leafs.
Right.
Nowadays, though, it looks like you'd more so want to drive the opposite way and check out the pathway down at Rico because this team,
right,
the Toronto Marlies, are fantastic. They are, I believe, 14-4.
14-4.
They have won 9 of their last 10. And a great story, if you guys want to check them out, is Garrett Sparks, who has been lights out.
Guelph Storm alumni. Shout out Guelph one time, my
big
alma mater.
Guelph Storm alumni, head of Goalie Gears United on Facebook.
We're all about plugs this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, you know what?
We're just throwing out plugs,
we
throwing out
shout-outs.
We just
want to get you to listen.
We're doing what we do. We're trying to increase the viewership from 10 to 20, maybe 30 if we're lucky, Joe.
Well, I don't want to push it.
Like, where's your family at? Where's the support?
They're doing their best.
Are they?
My dad listens.
Okay, there we go.
My mom wouldn't know what we're talking about. Plus, as we get involved with the Coronation Street, the Young and the Restless, the Bold and the Beautiful,
ooh,
all the shows that she
you
crushes.
You went there.
Yeah, I did.
You went there.
They're good shows, though.
Okay.
I love them.
Okay, we'll
like,
we'll,
I met Victor Newman, and I was so excited.
I know. You were you were
so
beaming.
Pumped.
You were beaming.
I still am.
It was like you were your picture next to the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God, yes. I got to
bring just,
it. I'll find
so
that
proud.
Picture. It's at my house. I'm wearing an M&M's t-shirt. Like, it's not the rapper. Like, four M&M's. Like, the characters.
Not the meat shop. Not the meat shop.
No, the little chocolate-filled amazing candy shells. Four of them. And that's what I wear to meet the Stanley Cup. But back to the Marlies, who are fantastic.
Right, Marlies, thank you.
The Marlies. It's so impressive to see what this team was able to do. Sheldon Keefe coming in as the new head coach, developing his system. What's so cool is that, unlike the Maple Leafs, who, you know, obviously it's a tougher league, but it took them a while to ingest that system, this youth, this young group of prospects are clearly smart enough to ingest the system quickly, learned it in two training camps, and have come out just firing.
Yeah, they're. I'm looking at, oddly enough, I punch in Toronto Marlies into Google, and the first article that comes up is written by our own friend of the show, Jessica Patton.
Oh, big shout out, Jess.
Big
Patton.
Shout out to Jess Patton of the Toronto Sun.
Big news, too. She just got a new phone, retiring the iPhone 4S.
Wow, retiring the iPhone 4S that was permanently plugged into a charger.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Anyway, so yeah, I just punch in Toronto Marlies, and look at that. Jess pops up. So good for you, Jess. Reading this article here on Toronto Sun. Another plug. But Sparks replacing Bebo, Nylander rolling. The special teams here. Fourth in the AHL, and I think on the penalty kill. And I think there you go is the trickle-down effect from the Babcock system. And you got to think that Keefe and Babcock talk fairly regularly. What do you think?
There's definitely a message, at least
maybe
I would
not,
say once a week.
Yeah, maybe not directly. Maybe yeah. they have an open line of communication. But
yeah. I'm pretty sure that Kyle Dubas has his fingerprints on
or that
the
as well. You know, they're in communication. And I think what is most exciting is kind of like how we just talked about the structure of the Raptors kind of coming together.
Yeah.
Is now you're seeing the structure of this Toronto Maple Leafs franchise all together. Trickle-down effect, the Marlies as well. Is really starting to come together. It's early.
It is.
It's very early. But you got to take these all as massive positives, considering where this team has come from in the past. You can even go back two decades if you want
You can go back 5 decades at this
right?
point.
Right? So this is exciting and promising times for Toronto Maple Leafs fans. And this is real, tangible things.
Well, check this out.
This wasn't the offseason where it was, oh, Lou Lamoriello, Brandon Shanahan, Dubas.
This
like
is
those,
on ice.
This is on ice, and I always said the front office is nice, behind the bench even nicer, but what matters and what cuts it at the end of the day is the on-ice product, and the fact that there's these young players, Marlies and Leafs, starting to play good, loving it for Toronto.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. Think about this. The leading scorer on the Toronto Marlies is William Nylander with 23 points in 17 games, averaging more than a point a game. Underneath him, in the top five are Richard Panik, NHLer, former NHLer, TJ
right.
Brennan,
right,
a fringe NHLer, which is beyond me how a 1 point a game defenseman in the AHL still can't make the NHL.
I know, and I don't get I've always liked him
me
as
too.
Well. So anyway, continue.
Josh Levo.
These are solid players,
Josh
by the way.
Levo, a fringe NHLer, AHLer. The guy could play on a fourth line somewhere.
For sure.
Mark Arcobello, an actual NHLer.
Hey, there he is. Our boy.
Brendan Leipzig, who is supposed to be a stud, and Matt Fratton.
Leipzig is we got in the Nashville deal, right?
Right. But the point here is that William Nylander is outperforming
an eighth
five
over,
players.
Eighth overall draft pick.
Eighth overall draft pick is outperforming four guys underneath him that are borderline or were NHLers.
Also, to point out, when we're making the comparison against those guys, Nylander is 19 years old.
Right.
These guys that you mentioned, Panik, like he's like 26. Brennan, he's like 28. So the kid is 19 years old and performing.
And something, too, that I find a lot of people, say is an issue, which actually William Nylander told me is not an issue, is the change in the ice surface. A lot of people are saying, oh, you know, it's going to take him some time to adjust to it because he's a European. He's not.
No, he's
not. He was raised in Washington.
Yeah.
He was raised.
He's a North American.
So he said, he said to me, he's like, it's not a problem for me. I've been playing on it my whole life other than the last 4 years.
Right.
So, but I mean, and then like we were saying with Garrett Sparks, the guy has 8 wins. He's got a goals against a 1.9 and a save percentage of 938.
Now, is he the long-term fix in net for the Leafs? Maybe not.
Well, realistically, with Garrett Sparks and Antoine Bebo.
Bebo's the other guy,
you know,
right?
And potentially one of the guys up there. And, you know, with the Leafs, you don't know if you're keeping them long-term. You don't know who's going to be the guy long-term. But you have a segue goaltender, potentially.
Mm.
You have young goaltenders developing. And, you know, you get to see what you have in one of these guys once they come up, if you do make a move from Bernier Reimer, which is the question in Toronto.
And I think that's really where this can be the most beneficial for the team, is if guys start playing poorly or if guys start getting hurt,
yep,
these guys are ready to go. And you can already know, you know, we just mentioned the open line of conversation between Babcock and Dubas and the minor league team, mm-hmm, the Marlies. You know that they're grooming these players and they're seeing the success and they're seeing them accept to the system, knowing, okay, these guys who have been working out so far start to struggle mightily or get injured. You know that these Marlies guys are going to be up in a heartbeat.
Well, I mean,
maybe not Nylander because he's younger and they're taking their time with him, which I appreciate.
Same.
Because there's been so many mismanagement of our young, talented guys. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yes,
that
I agree.
The other guys that you just mentioned will probably be up in a heartbeat and inserted straight into the lineup because they're performing well in the AHL.
Now, the Leafs have hit the 20-game mark. Everybody says that American Thanksgiving gives you a good example of what your hockey team is going to look like for the rest of the season. It's kind of the first time you get a report card.
I like this. Let's close the show with this. This is nice.
So let's go through the Leafs from forwards to coaching. Not necessarily individuals, but if an individual...
We'll give them a group mark.
Yeah, if an individual
group
sticks
mark
out to you, you let me know.
Sorry, TSN, you did it yesterday. We're doing it today.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I interned there.
Who likes Craig Button anyway?
He's a nice guy.
Sorry, Craig. Help me out with a job.
He's a great... They showed a picture of him in the 80s.
Checked out my LinkedIn
fro
account and my Twitter
wicked
account.
Wicked fro, Craig Button.
Yeah, wicked fro. White fro. Go ahead.
So, let's start with the least obvious, the forward crew.
That is the least obvious.
Also,
the toughest to put a mark on.
Exactly. What would you give this Leafs forward crew?
Mentioning a few guys that I think have... What I'm going to
do
is... Well,
first give me a mark, and then tell me the standouts.
I'm going to give you a mark. I'm going to give you two standouts and two guys that I think need to step it up. All
right, we're bell curving these guys.
Bell curve, hard.
Boom.
I'm going to give them an overall upfront mark of a C.
I like that.
Not minus, not plus, a C.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys that I think have played really well. First off, Joffrey Lupul. There was a lot of question marks around why they kept him. I know the money was one thing, but, you know, they shipped out a lot of the old guys. He's played fairly well. He's put up points, and he's playing on the third line. So he's been impressive. And after that, as a forward, who else has impressed me? You know, Fraze has been impressive from a standpoint of he came from pretty much, like, off the street. But my second guy, I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on. What do you think?
Well, I would give the Toronto Maple Leafs forwards a C+.
Okay.
And for all the immature people, including the ones in the booth, I would give them a 69.
Oh.
Because the Leafs are the kid in the class.
That's close to a B.
Yeah, I know. The Leafs forwards are the kid in the class who failed the year before and is trying their hardest but is not the smartest but is trying.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a C+, 69 for me. I would say the two key standouts, you took mine and Joffrey Lupul, so I have two other ones.
Okay.
Is the two Leafs starting centers in Bozak and Kadri.
Mm. See, I thought them, but okay, I'm listening.
Now, here's my thing.
Yeah, please.
For Bozak, I'm actually fairly impressed that Bozak is somewhat proving that he is not a creation of Phil Kessel. The guy's 14 points in 18 games.
Yeah.
He's leading
without Phil.
Without Phil. He's showing he has the ability to play defensive hockey when his plus-minus numbers were terrible with Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some confidence when Bozak's on the ice.
Solid on the faceoff numbers, too.
Great, yeah.
And so who is your second pick?
My second one's Nazem Kadri, who I am probably the hardest critic of Nazem Kadri.
Okay.
I don't believe he's a number one center.
No.
But I do believe that Nazem Kadri is starting to develop the tools which will make him an NHL second-line center. It's impressive to watch him no longer dangle the blue line. He's not overplaying the game. He's getting physical.
His game is coming around.
It's coming around. He's playing the right type of game. No, the numbers are not there.
But I like where you were going with that, and that's a fair assessment. My other guy who I was going to give a solid mark to, and I don't know why I couldn't think of it a second ago, was Leo Komarov.
Uncle Leo. I love Uncle Leo.
Uncle Leo plays a hard-nosed game.
Great guy.
And I really like his moxie. I like the way he just kind of shows up to the rink and you feel like he's just a get it. It's like Donaldson said, it's not the try league, it's a get it done league. And I feel like Uncle Leo really embodies that kind of mentality.
And big shout out for the Mo.
And I would give him a B plus or an A minus, and I would have given Loops the same B plus or A minus.
Oh, I agree.
Moving on to the D-core, in terms of overall grade for the D-core, I want to give them a B minus.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give them a little bit higher mark than the forwards because Matt Hunwick, again, came out of nowhere and has been unreal.
Yeah.
Morgan Riley.
A guy that Babcock has said he can envision moving forward. Like, he's not a guy I think Toronto's thinking of
moving. He's a serviceable defenseman who's playing really well. He's got wheels, which I like.
I did not expect that.
He's a speedy guy, and Babcock has a lot of credit and faith in him, and that's why I think that Babcock trust is, like, bleeding into me.
Yeah.
Because I really think Hunwick has been solid. So he would be my first guy, and then I got to go with Riley. As much as Dion deserves some love, too, and I hope you're throwing him some love in a sec, Riley has been impressive. I'm a little bit biased because he's on my fantasy hockey team.
Right.
But I really do see this guy as the Leafs captain of the future. If he's staying around, he's going to be our top defenseman. He's going to be huge for Canada internationally if they continue to play NHL players. And I really do think he's had a great season, and I'd give him an A.
For me, I'm going to give the Leafs D-core the same as you, a B-minus, only because they're not getting the higher marks because they're not winning games.
Right. Still, that's it, right? It's get it done, league.
Right. The defense corps has actually, it's been quite impressive. I'd say the standouts, obviously the ones you've mentioned, are glaringly standing out. Give big credit to Dion Phaneuf for, I would say being a leader in taking away his minutes, taking away his priority on the ice, and not complaining. To the contrary, excelling.
He might be having his best year yet.
Right.
And especially as a Leaf.
Especially as a Leaf. He's been playing fantastic. And, you know, the one thing I've always said about Phaneuf that not a lot of people notice is that Dion's problem is not his skating. It's not his mobility. It's that...
It's upstairs or what are you
going to
say?
No, I think it's just the overuse of Phaneuf. He breaks down
after
about 18 to 20 minutes.
True.
Not a lot of defensemen can handle that. I think Phaneuf's been playing fantastic. You hit on two of the other ones. The one guy, actually, I'm kind of down on, who brought that bell curve a little lower.
Yeah.
Roman Polak.
Yes. Clearly, disappointing.
Yeah, he can't play in Babcock's system
and
of
I would
puck
have been,
moving, fast skating defense.
Exactly. And I would have been inclined at the start of the year to say he was one of the guys that I would rely on.
Oh, he was a fantastic
guy. Because he had a great year
last year.
Did you see him bail on the shot? His stick blew up, and then he just bailed out the side.
Yeah.
He fell, so it was hilarious. But, yeah, that's... I guess before I wanted to mention a point about Dion before we move on to the goalies and wrap the show up is, do you think this means if he continues to play this good, he's going to get traded, right? Are we on the same page here?
I remember our first show to start this season, I said that Dion Phaneuf will be a Leaf for the remainder of the season.
Okay.
I still think
but do
that.
You but he's got to be playing better than you expected. I just think the better he plays, the chances of him getting traded increase exponentially, and I just, as much as I think Babcock backs Dion and he supports Dion, I really don't think they see Dion in the long-term plans. Even the short, like then, even like 3 years, I don't think they see him in the plans. That's me. So maybe that's why, but I don't think if he continues to play this well, I think he'll be moved out pretty soon because it makes that ugly contract number look a lot prettier.
Well, that I believe. I mean, you definitely hit on all the right points for the reason why Kunov could get dealt.
Thank you.
The teams I look at that could potentially need a fit for Dion are teams that need a number 2-3 guy. And the one team that sticks out in my head right off the bat is the Dallas Stars.
Exactly.
Dallas has a couple bad contracts. And
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and they could use a dump. Dallas also has some intriguing problems in that they have two goalies making $13 million collectively. And I mean, if by the trade deadline Dallas finds that they have one guy or the other one, the move for one of the Leafs goalies, Phaneuf, a bad contract, and a goalie seems to make some sense.
I like what you're bringing up there, because I also see Dallas as a team with a lot of talent to burn.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of guys up front. Like, we could sit here all day and talk about how nasty that top line is with Sharp, Sagan, and Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
We could talk about it all day. So,
and they might not have enough time to let Nikushkin develop.
Right.
If they believe that their window is now for another 6 years and they need that guy for four more.
Right, and the two-goalie thing is interesting.
And
so.
Dion's not old. I mean, the guy's 28.
No, he's not old. Is he 28?
Yeah.
Holy.
Man, big Dion's that been makes, playing since he was 18.
That makes me feel
Or 19, I guess, because of the lockout.
Anyway, let's wrap this up here.
Goaltending.
Goaltending, Mark. Go ahead. You can start, pal.
The goaltenders, even with James Reimer apparently, as Don Cherry said, is the best goalie in the NHL, this guy, they get a solid D+.
Whoa.
Because
that's because Bernier brought it
it's
down.
It's all Bernier.
Yeah, Bernier. So what's Reimer get?
Well,
then?
Here's the thing. I mean, if you look at Reimer's season is a C-. He started off as an F, and he played as an A. Mm-hmm. And what do you get there? A C-.
Okay.
Jonathan Bernier has been nothing short of an F+.
He's been brutal.
He's been absolutely brutal.
So, and yeah, when you average the marks, that makes sense.
To me, they're a D+. It sucks because I'm actually a guy who believes in Jonathan Bernier. I think when you look at what has made James Reimer a solid goalie as of late, you're like, oh, he's slowing down the game. He's positionally sound. He's been eating his rebounds. And he's been more concentrated.
So everything Bernier wasn't doing.
Minus the concentration. Bernier lets in the bad goals, and he's not making big saves. James Reimer is. I'm sorry, but the Leafs goaltending to me, D+.
All right, here we go. Bernier has been brutal, and the thing is I've been the biggest Bernier supporter. Coming into this year, I would have said, you know, it's his job to lose, and I guess it was, and he did that.
Yeah, he did that.
So, you know, yeah, D-, F+, whatever you want. It's been bad. So the overall mark for what I have for the goalies is a C+.
Okay.
Reimer, I think, has, you said it, he's still, people are, I think, not remembering, he started off the year a little shaky.
Yep.
So I will give him a C+ as well. Actually, no, that doesn't make sense.
You give him a B-?
I give him a B.
A B?
I'm going to give him a B only because also all the flack he's taken as the goalie. Like, as much as Bernier played bad and he took some heat, Reimer's been the GOAT. But Reimer's been the guy that they've jumped on, media's jumped on, players have jumped, coaches. Like, he's taken some heat. Even his wife was taking heat in the crowd for a period of time.
Well, he's just okay, right?
Exactly, right? I just think he deserves some credit. I'll change what I said. Definitely a solid B- for Reimer. And we'll see what the rest of the season, how the rest of the season plays out. Does he even finish the year as the Toronto Maple Leaf? We've talked about it. Anything could happen, Joe.
And coaching staff?
Coaching staff grade. That's got to be high, right? They like look at the roster. Yeah, look at the roster and look at the results. And
the A plus would have been if they had won a significant amount of games.
Since my Reimer one was so off, I'm just gonna go A-.
A-?
Just to be that guy.
I'm gonna give them an A. I think Babcock's been fantastic. I think the Leafs' power play's been fantastic, and their penalty kill's coming around. I think the coaching staff has been the stars of this team so far.
Joe's given the coaching staff of the Toronto Maple Leafs an A. We're giving our fans out there listening an A+ for being so beautiful, amazing,
always,
and supportive. We can't express how much it means to us that you guys listen, follow, like, and share.
Quarter of a century mark.
This is the quarter of a century mark for the Sports from the Six podcast. And honestly, we wouldn't be anywhere with all the love that we get from everyone. So thank you very much. Thank you to Joe for jumping on. Thank you for AK and to Dwayne, who used to run the show with us. Just much love to everybody. Joe, you want to say a little something here, pal?
Yeah, this is my fifth episode officially, so this is a half a decade mark for me.
Yep.
It's been fantastic. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for listening. And for myself, Joe Narsa, alongside Flip Livingstone, and for our hopefully back soon, Ali Khan Rav Johnny, thanks for listening.
Take it easy, guys.